Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to OceanaGold Q2 2016 Results Webcast and Conference Call. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for the operator. This call is being recorded on Thursday, August 4th, 2016, Eastern Standard Time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Sam Pazuki. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the rescheduled webcast for our second quarter 2016 financial and operating results. My name is Sam Pazuki, Director of Investor Relations at OceanaGold. On the call with me today are Michael Holmes, Chief Operating Officer, Mark Chamberlain, Chief Financial Officer, Darren Klink, Executive Vice President, Corporate Development, Edward Sitboon, Corporate Controller, and Jeff Sansom, Investor Relations Analyst. Due to a rescheduling conflict, Mick Wilkes, President and Chief Executive Officer, is unable to join us today. For those wishing to ask questions, we will be taking them through the telephone only and following the conclusion of the formal presentation. Before we proceed, note that all references in the presentation that you're about to hear adhere to international financial reporting standards, and all financial figures are denominated in U.S. dollars unless otherwise stated. Also note that the presentation contains forward-looking statements which, by their very nature, are subject to some degree of uncertainty. I will now turn it over to Michael Holmes to begin the main portion of the presentation.
Thank you, Sam. Good morning and good afternoon. As Sam mentioned, I'm Michael Holmes, and I'm the EVP and Chief Operating Officer for OceanaGold. Before I start, I'd like to acknowledge Chippewa Stain, the operator that was involved in the tragic incident at Waihi. Chippewa was the son to Jim and Diana Stain, and a loving partner to Annalie Hemapo, and father to son Shaden. Chippewa was a long-standing employee at Waihi Mine, and commenced with the operations in 2007. He was an integral part of the crew and the underground team where he worked with his father, and was seen as a leader, being a member of the Waihi Mines Rescue Team and recently appointed to the role of the Health and Safety Committee. Our thoughts and prayers are with Tip's family, his friends, our employees, and the whole Waihi community. Okay, I'd like to go now through the quarter two and H1 results. Starting from slide three of your slide pack, where OceanaGold continues to deliver on its commitment. Haile development is on schedule and budget to have the first ore delivered into the mill by the end of the year. Didipio underground development is advancing well and is on track to produce from the first stope by the end of 2017. The operations are on track to achieve the production and cost guidance. We will continue to focus on our health and safety across our business, and safety of our people is our top priority. Our consolidated all-in sustaining costs improved to $722 per ounce sold and is within guidance. Our operating costs cash flows increased 44% to $123 million, and we increased our liquidity with the same banks and at the same terms. As mentioned, our safety is and still remains a major focus. From the consolidated performance on slide five, our production half on half, we had a 27% increase to 225,300 ounces. Over the 3 years, our cost of decreased 17% and remain on plan and within guidance. From the financials, our EBITDA has improved from 100.9 million to 155 million, and our profits from 23.5 million to 63.2 million, driven by the higher gold production and the higher gold prices. On slide six, we have a picture of the Haile development. To the left-hand side is the picture of the overall process plant in construction, and to the right-hand side is the MSA retaining wall, which will have the crusher foundations in there and the ROM pad off to the left of that picture. For Hale development, current capital spend is $246 million, and we have spent and committed $330 million out of the $380 million. The engineering, procurement and paved cell phase one have been completed. The structural and mechanical and piping is in progress and is 40% complete, with the completion date in the final quarter. The electrical instrumentation and controls and mining infrastructure have commenced, and the tailings storage facility is currently 60% complete due for completion in quarter four. So we are on track for the first ore through the mill by the end of 2016 and commercial production early 2017. The slide 8 shows you a picture of another view of the Hale construction. On the left-hand side, you can see in, under the blue wrappers the both mills that have been put in place, and we've poured the mill deck. And then working through the grinding, the fine grinding, the CIL tanks. Seven have been completed out of the eight. And we're looking at 95% of the concrete has poured, and as mentioned, 40% of the structural steel installed. The next picture on slide 9 shows the crusher, the MSA wall and the ROM pad. The retaining wall has been completed, and the crusher has been installed. To the right of that picture, you can see the transfer tower foundations and the reclaim area. Construction is on track. Slide 10 shows the mill zone open pit, which is our first open pit. We're currently working that, and that has gone to a 24-hour mining operation. And we have now a backhoe excavator has been employed. We have stockpiled 1.19 million tonnes of oxide ore, and we are on track to have 0.15 million tonnes of ore ready for processing by the end of the year. Slide 11 shows paid cell phase one has been completed and is currently receiving paid material. And in the foreground there is the pond in 465, which is operational. Slide 12 shows the TSF, well advanced, nearing 60% complete, and the construction of the TSF, as mentioned, is progressing well in line with our schedules. For the operational performance for quarter two 2016, starting with the Didipio on slide 14, we have gold production at 44,000 ounces on track, slightly below due to the finalisation of stage 5 and a slightly lower head grade. Gold sales were up at 44,800 ounces, and that's due to higher concentrate sales. Copper production was slightly higher, as well as copper throughput and copper sales due to the higher concentrate sales. So we're currently working, as mentioned, finishing stage 5 and commencing the final stage of the open pit, which is stage 6. Our year-to-date all-in sustaining costs is at $264 per ounce, which is on track with guidance. From the operating statistics, for the mine performance, we had less ore mined in quarter two as we were finalising the stage 5 and similar waste movement as we were bringing down the stage 6 profile. Throughput through the mill was at 971,000 tonnes, with continued good recoveries on good grade profiles. Slide 18 shows a picture of the Didipio underground, and that's tracking very well with the expected completion by the end of 2017. We're currently about 2 kilometres down the decline with a total development meters of around 2.6 kilometres. We have completed the first vent raise and we are moving to the other two vent raises to be completed this year. We now have two jumbos operating underground, and as mentioned, we are on track for the first underground stope to be commenced by the end of 2017. Slide 17 shows the Philippines exploration and the plans that we have with the surface works and the and planned drilling underground. We are aware that the DENR is completing audits of all operations in the Philippines. We welcome these audits and we fully comply with the regulators as we comply with and operate to international, Canadian, Australian and New Zealand standards, which we are very proud of. We're also aware there was a petition to the DENR secretary by disaffected landowners. We have always welcomed discussions with the landowners and happy to answer any questions the regulators may have. Moving on to slide 18, with the Waihi quarter two results. So gold produced was at 26,540 ounces for quarter two, sales being similar. This is due to more work done on waste mining than in ore mine, developing the accesses to Carenza Beach, Daybreak and Grace Empire. Our all-in sustaining costs year-to-date was $734 per ounce, which is in line with our forecast. And through the quarter, we transitioned to owner-operator on the 1st of July for the underground employees. Slide 19, from the operation statistics, as mentioned, you can see the proportion of ore mining versus waste mining as we develop the declines and accesses. Our mill performance was a function of the ore fed from the mine, and the grade profiles and recoveries remain similar, and these are dependent on the position of the stopes and the ore development. In slide 20, from the exploration program, we're focusing on three areas, the Waihi underground drilling, with the vein drilling and resource expansion in the areas of Carenza Deeps, Empire, Daybreak and Royal. On the surface, we have four drill rigs operating, testing the resource potential beneath the open pit, linking and understanding the structures of the major lodes, the linking basins and the Stockworth veins. And then the third arm of the focus is the regional, which is through the planning stages looking for new deposits. And the major priority there is on the WKP, which we expect to commence drilling in quarter four. A total budget for 2016 for drilling in the Waihi region is $10 million. On to slide 21 from Macraes and Reefton. The gold production has decreased quarter on quarter and due to putting Reefton on care and maintenance and some lower grades out of Macraes. So we produced 32,000 ounces. The 44,000 ounces sold was basically due to drawing down of the Reefton concentrate that was produced at the beginning of the year in quarter one. Our all-in sustaining costs is at $1,140 per ounce, and we also have continued positive drilling results at Coronation North, which will be demonstrated in the preceding slides. For the key operational statistics on slide 22, the volume of waste has increased, and that's due to the next phase mining of Coronation Pit and the mining of waste in Innes Mills and the Frim Pit, with the waste stripping due to the mine sequencing. So the reduction in the head grade down to 0.4 in the mill, but the recovery, as shown, remains strong at 81%. So with the declining grades, we're able to maintain a good recovery. Looking at slide 23 from the Macraes exploration, there's a lot of activity there and the recent results for Coronation North and Fraser's Underground, so the extension and target opportunities that we have in those areas and the other areas highlighted for further potential. We have a budget of $3 million there to continue the exploration in and around the Macraes area. I'd now like to hand over to Mark Chamberlain, who will go through the financials.
Thank you, Michael. So looking at page 25, we'll talk about the balance sheet position at the moment. Our total liquidity at the end of the second quarter was $221 million, comprising $104 million in cash and the undrawn facility of $117 million. That compares to liquidity at the end of the first quarter of $185 million. We saw a decrease in our cash holdings from $185 million to $104 million, and that's due to the major outlays, which was Hail CapEx of some $71 million, Didipio almost $12 million, a dividend payment of $24 million, and our investment in New Legacy in April, which was around $5 million US. And also in the period, we have expended some $6.4 million in exploration. So we've got liquidity of $221 million, which is more than sufficient to complete Hail by the end of the year and maintain our target of at least $100 million in liquidity at that point. Moving to the other side of the page, we've set out our total debt, which now stands at $228 million. The increase from the previous quarter is primarily due to the sale and lease back of our equipment at Hail, which raised $35 million for us. We also took the opportunity during the quarter to increase our credit facility to an overall commitment of $300 million. That's up $50 million. It's on the same competitive terms and conditions as previous and involves the same banks stepping up equally. Moving to page 26, we have the financial summary. Our revenues were some $8 million increase from the previous quarter, and that's due to the around about $50 average higher gold price received. Our EBITDA between the two quarters, the first and second, was almost identical at $77 million each quarter, but our net profit for the second quarter was almost $40 million compared to $23.5 million for the first quarter, and that is primarily due to a decrease in the unrealized losses relating to the fair values of hedges and also to a lower depreciation and amortization charge. The gold sales, $144.6 million in the second quarter, slightly up on the first quarter, and again relates to the higher realized gold sale price. Copper sales were up $28 million compared to $23 million, but that was in due to increased sales. All those issues are summarized on the table in page 27. Gold production there, second quarter was 102,000 odd ounces compared to 122,000 ounces. There was 10,000 less, around 10,000 less at Waihi and 7,000 less at Macraes Reefton as previously forecast. Copper production was up some 300 tonnes. The gold price between the two quarters there, again, just $50 higher, but the copper price received was some 12 cents per pound lower. These feeds through to the income statement. As we mentioned, revenue was slightly up. Our operating costs, you'll see there's an increase of around about $8 million. A lot of that was due to a stronger New Zealand dollar. We were looking at 66.5 cents in the first quarter compared to almost 70 cents to the US dollar in the second quarter. Some lower pre-strip capital and some higher electricity costs, which are a seasonal factor in New Zealand. Depreciation was down some $5 million between the two quarters, and that's due to the lower production at Waihi and less pre-strip amortisation. And the net interest and finance cost was up some $300,000, which simply reflects the cost of increasing our facility by $50 million. All in all, earnings before tax, $46 million compared to some $42 million. Again, the figures show for the net profit, $39.7 million compared to $23.5 million. And the big impact there is shown is the gain, or I should say the loss on the fair value of undesignated hedges, $1.8 million only in the second quarter compared to $18 million in the first quarter. So a very healthy situation, leaving us with net profit at the end of the first half of some $63.2 million. Moving to slide 28, shows the cash flow performance. The operating cash flow was much higher at $91.5 million for the second quarter. The investment cash flow was up, driven again by Didipio and Hale, to $122.5 million. We've given you a breakdown of capital expenditure there, increased, as you can see, $93.9 million in the first quarter compared to $117.2 million in the second quarter. And then we have capital expenditure by operation. Hale primarily is all to do with the building, so it's $71.5 million of that $73 was non-sustaining. At Macraes, we had non-sustaining of around about $15.5 million and pre-strip of $6 million, to give us a total around 25 after we add some exploration. At Didipio, non-sustaining there was $8 million to do with the underground. And Waihi, overall, our expenditure on exploration was around $7 million for the quarter. I'll now hand it back to Michael to sum it up with our 2016 priorities. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Mark. So the priorities for the rest of the year in 2016 is to continue with the growth in solid cash flows. From the operational point of view, is to focus on safety. Safety is our priority, and to deliver on guidance and cash flows. From development is to continue with the construction of Hale and to deliver the Hale gold mine with first ore through the plant at the end of this year, and to continue the advancement of the underground, the Didipio underground construction, which is progressing well, for delivery of first stoping ore into the mill by the end of 2017. Continue with our focus on growth, increasing our reserve base through exploration, as well as advancing our technical and optimisation studies internally. And then from the stakeholders' point of view, is to continue to deliver the meaningful benefits to our communities and all the communities in which we operate, and to deliver the strong shareholder returns. So it's a very clear focus on the priorities that we have for the remainder of 2016. Thank you very much, everybody, for your attendance, and I'll hand it back over to you, Stan.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mark. At this time, we will open the line to take questions. For those of you seeking to ask questions, we will be taking them through the telephone only. So we're going to pause now just for a few moments while callers queue up, and I'll turn it over to the operator to facilitate the Q&A process.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Michael Slaversky from Credit Suisse. Michael, please go ahead.
Thank you. I've got three small ones, if I may. Holmesy, the Macraes exploration results from Coronation, those 10 holes, is that all the holes you drilled? So I'm trying to understand, I guess, all those grades, they look terrific. Is that representative of what you're expecting now in terms of what the resource grade might be? And if that's the case, how do you propose to mine it? Will we see those sort of grades come through for a period when it's mined, or will that be blended out with lower grade material and see no net change? That's question one.
Yes, thank you, Michael. The Coronation North drilling still continues, and we're excited by those results. At the moment, we're still working through the resource model and the reserve model to finalise that. The idea is to look at the Coronation North starting in 2017, and it will be blended with the other material from the underground, and from the other pits that we have operating.
But given that the grades all seem to be significantly elevated compared to pit grades to date, we'd expect a significant step up, or are you suggesting that between blending that we mightn't see any net change?
Michael, with that, as I said, until we get the final sort of pit shapes and reserves, the grades are better. So overall, it's a better grade pit than Coronation. So you would expect to see some improvement in the grades, yes.
Okay, thank you. Secondly, moving on to Didipio, really good throughput. Was that simply a function of lack of maintenance compared to what you're projecting for the balance of the year, or is that a further step improvement? So the number, I guess, that Wilksy's talked about in the past is a 3.6 million tonne per annum annualised rate. Is that still the expectation, or have you achieved something that makes you think you can do better than that on a sustainable basis?
Michael, it's been a combination of some throughput improvements as well as limited maintenance. Through the remainder of the year, we will be doing some further maintenance and have some maintenance outages. So the idea is to try and continue with the 3.5 million tonne continued throughput rate and then take the opportunity as we see them.
Okay, thank you. And then finally, the Philippines exploration permitting issue, I don't know if there's any color you can add there. Is there anything that's agitated the locals to have a go, or is it just part of a normal process that that always happens? I guess, given your enthusiasm, Wilksy's enthusiasm last quarter when you got that permit, how do you see it panning out?
Michael, at the moment, I suppose with any change of government, there's always a refocus on different areas, and the DENR made it clear that they want to review all the mining operations within the country. So we welcome that review. We are mining to international best practices with the ISO 14001 and the OSHAS 18001. As well as operating to Canadian and Australian standards. We were awarded the top environmental award last year. So I think we're very well positioned, and as I said, we will welcome a transparent audit by the DENR to understand, in their view, what they want to look at as they're reviewing the whole mining industry within the Philippines. So for us, it's business as usual and a real opportunity to showcase the operations. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, Ozzy.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have a question, please press star followed by one. Your next question comes from Chris Thompson from Raymond James. Chris, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, good morning. Just a couple of quick questions here, just on Hale. Could you just remind us again on the timetable for the optimization study and a revised mine plan with resource updates? Are they going to be ready by the end of the year? Are they going to be announced by the end of the year? Or are you going to be waiting until the new year for that?
Yes, Chris. There's currently a technical study going on at the moment, which is having a look at the underground potential. We will be continuing that, and that is planned to be understood by the end of the year. The optimisation study, which looks at the overall mining of the pit, the potential for underground, and then the resource and reserve update. The plan is that program will continue through this year, and those results will be released sort of mid next year.
All right. So any revised, I guess, resources, reserve updates we can anticipate with the revisions next year?
Yes, that's right, Chris.
All right, and then another question very quickly, and I do understand it's a very, very sensitive issue, so I apologise for asking it, but a little bit of a sense as with the timeline for restarting operations at Waihi?
Waihi operations were recommenced last night.
Okay, thanks. And then finally, just affirmation as far as Coronation North, tons from Coronation North, we can anticipate those being led into the mine plan early next year?
Yes, that's correct, Chris.
Perfect. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Gray from Maguire. Michael, please go ahead.
Hi there, from Macquarie. Yeah, on for Didipio underground drilling, you mentioned that in the MD&A you'll be ready with the underground platforms in September, so exploration drilling 50 kilometers. What kind of dip length will you be able to test, and how much is that is outside the resource, and what kind of drill hole spacing will that be on?
Yes, Michael. The underground program will be on a couple of levels. Is to do the infill drilling for the resource and the reserve, as well as test the bottom extent of the mine, which is still open at depth. So there'll be an extensive program that will cover those two areas. So the September program is to commence with the deeper drilling. At the moment, The plan is to look at holes which are around about 850 metres in length, and then just determine after the first hole what the opportunities are. So the two programs will be starting with in September.
Okay, that's helpful. And to McRae's on the exploration, you mentioned that in the MD&A that the Maribyrn target north of Coronation North is got 900 meter long strike you're going to be testing and drilling. Is that been documented by drilling already? And if so, what kind of results have been yielded, or is this really a brand new target?
It's an area that has been of interest, and there are some previous holes around that area, but it really is an area that we're setting the program through and testing that as well as other areas along the strike length. So we've run a program which has sort of had a look at the whole of the Macraes trend and identifying areas that we believe there's further potential, with Maybourne being one of those.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have a question, please press star followed by one. We do have a question. Our question comes from Jeff from CIBC. Jeff, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon and good morning. Thanks for your time. Just a couple of questions. Wanted to start with Waihi. One with respect to the throughput, get the impression that it is expected to rebound in the second half. Do you expect that's going to be fairly immediate in Q3, or will we more see those numbers gravitating up in Q4?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Probably you'll see a better Q4 than Q3 is what we're sort of planning, but the rebounds will be coming through the quarter three, so a stronger quarter four than quarter three, yes.
Okay, thanks. And then just on the cost side of Waihi, can you give us a sense for what magnitude of potential cost benefits you'll see from switching to owner mining, say on a per unit or a per ounce basis?
Not at the moment, Jeff. We've been working through, I suppose, some opportunities when we took control of the mine, and working with the staff and the employees there for continuous improvement programs, with the idea with the owner operator is for some further focus on that, as well as that generally is our business model for underground. But we will sort of continue to advance, working with our workforce to look for further opportunities there.
Okay, thank you. Then two quick ones on Didipio. Firstly, understanding there's a maintenance shutdown coming in the second half, can you just clarify, would that be a Q3 or a Q4 impact? And I'm assuming it's only going to be about a two-week type of event. Can you confirm that?
Yes, there'll be some maintenance activities that happen both in quarter three and quarter four. So they generally aren't of an extended period.
Okay, thanks. And then just can you clarify, I'm pretty sure that's the case, but with some of the rumblings that have been coming out of the Philippines, they're all with regard to the exploration licenses that were granted, yes? And there's been no challenge or any type of that nature with the mine specifically, is that correct?
Jeff, when you as I mentioned, with the change of government, they're reviewing and auditing all the mines within the Philippines, and so as part of the process with the regulator, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, they've established audit teams to go and review every mining operation, and so with that we welcome that audit, that transparent audit. We have been operating there now for 4 years and operating with the community. So as they'll be auditing, they'll be going through with the officers and the officials from the Department of Environmental and Natural Resources auditing all of the works and operations currently in the Philippines with our operation. So as we mentioned by the President, that he is focused on mining and responsible mining and to Canadian and Australian standards of which we are complying with.
Okay, very well. Have you been given any guidance on terms of the time frame this audit may take?
I think reading from the press is that the audits will be going on in the next couple of weeks, I think, with the DENR wanting to present something to the President in August, towards the end of August.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. That's it for me.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Please proceed, Mr. Pazuki.
That concludes the presentation for today. On behalf of the team at OceanaGold, I would like to thank you for your interest and participation. And should you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact us directly. Bye for now.